Today we're in the third message that I have entitled Priorities. A Gallup survey discovered that 12% of Americans who are happier, have stronger families, are more tolerant of people of all descriptions, and more community-minded than others. So they were wondering why that's true of about 12% of Americans. And here's what they found out. That 12% group is highly committed spiritually. So the more we are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we are happier, the more we are tolerant, the more we love other people other than ourselves. How many of you have heard of Johnny Appleseed? Yeah. Well, he moved west during the frontier days and planted a lot of trees. And that's about all we remember, and that's about all we are taught about Johnny Appleseed. But there are some things that Johnny Appleseed did that was much more important than planting seeds and making trees or allowing trees to grow. He was a very good Bible scholar. And in the frontier, people out there on that harsh land would welcome a stranger because they would like to hear about what was going on in the other part of the world. So Johnny Appleseed spent a lot of time with families who were really interested in what he had to say. And he always made sure that he taught them or found out what they were concerned about and shared the Word of God with them. When he left in the morning, he would tear a page out of his Bible that had something to do with what they had discussed. And because they didn't have a Bible, unfortunately, so he left them a page of his Bible. And they were able to read that over and over and over. So that was the ministry of Johnny Appleseed. We only think about him planting seeds for trees, but he had a much greater ministry than planting seeds. He had a ministry of sharing the Word of God with people. So the first thing that we looked at in this series on priorities is love God and love others. And that's our passage of Scripture for this month. Last week we had a bang-up service praising God. And I understand that they're going to come back and do that for us on Back to Church Sunday. So we can look forward to that. Today we're going to look at the word commitment. That's a word that we really don't get too excited about. We are committed to some things and other things we are simply not committed to. But we want to look at that from the Word of God, and that's found in Romans 15th chapter, verses 1 through 6. The priority of commitment. Boy, if there's any time that we need to be committed, it's right now. And if there's a lack of commitment, it is also right now. Here's what the Scripture says. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. And I'm not talking about the person who lives next door. I'm talking about those around you. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. Wow. We who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. But we are a narcissistic society. We are more concerned about ourselves than we are about anything else. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. You probably heard the story of the pig and the chicken walking down the road. And the chicken said to the pig, "You know, I think what we ought to do is start a restaurant." And the pig said, "Well, that'd be a pretty good thing to do, start a restaurant. What would we call it?" "Oh," the chicken said, "how about ham and eggs?" And the pig said, no, ham requires a commitment on my part. All you're going to be is involved." So commitment is one thing that we need to think about. Because if we aren't committed in this day and age to what the Book of Romans teaches us about our relationship to each other, we're going to fail. We are facing some desperate times. I'd like to say some things about politics this morning, but I'll save that for a special class that I'm going to have. To remind us once again of what woke and CRT is all about. And I hope it will help you in your prayers as you think about November and voting. Just before Jesus went to the cross, he prayed on behalf of Christians that all of them may be one. That's an interesting thing. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. A spirit of unity. How do we manifest unity to the world in which we live? How do we see unity in our own church family? Well, here's what the scripture says in John 13:35. "But by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if," that is a huge if "you have love one for another." I think our love kind of squeezes down over time. It shouldn't. It should grow over time. The scripture also says, your love for one another will prove, listen to this, prove to the world. You can't prove to the world just by talking to them. We have to be an example of what love is all about. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. We can talk about being Christians. We can talk about love. But unless we manifest that in the way we deal with one another and the way we love one another, nobody's going to pay any attention. It's proven by the way we care for one another. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to prove that we are the people of God, how do we do that? By the way we love one another, by the unity that we have. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody sees everything the same way. That's not what it's talking about. But overall, God's people should be in unity. And with 300 denominations in the United States alone, and many more across the world, it's difficult for us to prove that we are the children of God when people see so much diversity. So as a church family, we want to think about our unity and how we can manifest to the world that, or prove to the world that we are the children of God. Jesus emphasizes his desire that the church should be together as a unity and love each other. Obviously, we don't see all things the same. If I took a poll this morning and asked you what you believe about the, say, end times, or if I asked you what you believe about the rapture, there would be different ideas. Some would say there is no rapture. Some would say it's a pre-rapture. Some would say it's a middle rapture. Some would say it's an end times rapture. Or what on earth are you talking about when you ask me about a rapture? So we don't all see things the same. But that doesn't mean that it should detract from our unity in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's okay to have different ideas. But in the end, there should be unity for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should be together. I like to say this statement. To dwell above with saints we love, wow, that will be glory. To live below with saints we know, that's another story, right? It's difficult. So, number one this morning, commitment to one another. We who are strong, who is that? Some have been in the church for 20 or 30 years and they're still not strong. But we who are strong or mature ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. In every church family, there will be those who are doing things that are questionable. But it doesn't mean that we should kick them out. It doesn't mean that we should be nasty to them. It simply means that we are to love them and help them. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Now remember, neighbor doesn't mean the person next door. It means anyone that you come in contact with, that your responsibility as a mature Christian is to help those who are weak in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the church of Jesus Christ to prosper and for the testimony of Christ to be shared in the world in which we live, it's of utmost importance that mature Christians see what it's all about and pull together with other Christians. We're not all at the same degree of maturity this morning. There are different things going on in each and every life. If you're a mature believer, praise the Lord, you have a greater responsibility to help those who need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I hear an amen?
Amen?
Wow. But we are, no matter where we are, no matter what's going on, we are one family. And every family has good points, bad points, in-between points. We are one in Christ, and it's important how we manifest that. Wow. Those who are strong in Christ have a greater responsibility. That greater responsibility is to help those who need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That could be a young person. It could be a person who has recently come to Christ, a person who is seeking maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility as Christians to reach out and help that person. Are you willing to do that? What do you do when a newborn baby comes into your home or into your life? You just throw him in the crib and leave him alone? No. You make sure that every need that they have is taken care of, because they need to grow. That's true of us as people come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as surely as we take care of a newborn baby, we need to take care of a newborn Christian. Or we need to take care of a Christian who has been born again but has failed to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's your responsibility and my responsibility to see that that happens. People, look around. People sitting all around this morning are at various stages of need. Some people have a personal problem, need a listening ear. Will you be that listening ear? Some people are lonely and need a friend. Will you be their friend? Some people are discouraged and they need a positive word. Will you be that word? Some people have a material need which you could supply. Will you be that supply? Some people need spiritual counsel to apply the principles of God's word in the situation in which they live. Will you give that counsel? Will you help them solve their problem? That's what the church is all about. And when we don't do that, we are not proving to the world that we are the people of God. I can't prove to the people of God, I can't prove to the community that we are the people of God by preaching. We can only do that as a body of Christ when we are united in what the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to do. I read an article recently about a sister who gave one kidney to her sister. Her attitude was, God has given me two kidneys, one for me and one for my sister. And she gladly and happily gave her kidney to her sister. Later on, I read another article about a coworker who gave her kidney to a fellow coworker, a coworker she didn't particularly like, and a coworker who wasn't particularly thankful. But she did it anyway, and the Lord blessed her as a result of it, and eventually blessed the person who received the kidney. So we might be called upon to give a kidney to somebody we don't particularly like. But in this particular case, they did that. Wow. The reason we are to be willing to help is important, because we want to prove to the world that we really are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. I don't know what else they have to see other than our commitment to one another, because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing is commitment to Jesus Christ himself. We hear this phrase this little thing. There are bracelets for it. What would Jesus do? But that's the wrong question. What did Jesus do? And as we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every tongue should confess and every knee should bow. That's the rest of that passage of Scripture from Philippians 2, 6 through 8. Wow. Emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave. If he took on the form of a slave, what kind of form should we take on? I guess we should take on the form of a slave as well. Right? How many of you see yourself as a slave this morning? That's pretty hard, isn't it? But that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did on our behalf. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. If you are a strong Christian, if you are a mature Christian, is it too much for you to give up your freedom in some area in order to encourage another person? Open your mind. Open your eyes. There are always people who need more encouragement, more love, more concern. I really like the new board in the back. Bring some sunshine into somebody's life. Go back there and look at that. It's who did that? Huh? All right. That I like that. It's good. What did it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to be an encouragement? It only cost him his life. Died on our behalf, that we might have the forgiveness of sin. True commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ will cost each and every one of us. Are we willing to pay the price? Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. This is the Son of God. This is the one who came from heaven. And he took on the form of a slave. Would have been a lot easier for him to just stay in heaven, where he was equal with God and enjoyed all the benefits of heaven. But no, he came here as a slave and took on the form of a human and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you're a stronger Christian, if you're a mature Christian, open your heart and your mind to those who need encouragement. As I said, does somebody need counsel? Would you give them counsel? Does somebody need a material thing? Would you be that person who would help them with a material situation? Whatever a person needs in Christ. And we need to be available to do that. Remember, our culture has become very narcissistic. Only concerned about self. And in a culture, if we can manifest the love of Christ in the way that the Bible teaches, then we prove that we are the children of God. And we prove that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can't do that by talking. You can do that by the way we live and the way we treat one another in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it only cost Jesus Christ his life and the terrible stuff that he went through. And then the last point this morning is trust God for help. I can't do what he wants me to do in my own strength. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement, and underline those big words, give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth, get that, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ask yourself, do we have a spirit of unity? Are we together? And if we are, so with one heart and mouth, you may glorify the Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The honest truth, friends, is that we are not able to do this on our own. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. May God give you a spirit of unity. May God give me a spirit of unity. God is so willing to help us. We must have the desire then to trust God for his help, to give us great endurance. Wow. Can we do that in the months ahead? Commitment to trust God. In a Peanuts cartoon, Lucy said to Linus, change the TV channel. Well, Linus said, what makes you think that you can come in here and make me change the TV channel? Lucy said, see these five fingers? Those five fingers are nothing. But when I put them into a fist, they become a terrible, horrible weapon. And Linus said, what channel do you want? And then he looked at his own fingers and he said, why can't you guys get organized like that? Why can't you do what Lucy has done? I guess we need to ask ourselves that question. Can't we organize like the Lord Jesus Christ did? Can't we be what the Lord Jesus Christ did? Can't we follow his example and be united in the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can prove to the world that we are really the church of God, that we are really God's people? That's the only way that we establish the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can talk about it. That may or may not be effective. But when people come and see a united body of Christ living together in harmony, yeah, disagreements come. We don't all see things the same. But still, there has to be unity. That is so true of a marriage. My wife tells me every day, I just don't see things the way you do. And I say, boy, doesn't make any difference anyway. So bottom line is this, as we close this morning. In the church, there are three things that we must do. We must be committed to one another. Amen. Number two, committed to Jesus Christ. Wow, without that, we're lost. And committed to trust God to help us. We can't do this stuff on our own. We can only do it when the Lord Jesus Christ helps us. But we have to be willing to accept that help. And sometimes that means we need to make some lifetime changes. So this morning we have a hymn of invitation. And if you'd like to be a part of this, this unity thing, come forward and say, I'm going to be what God wants me to be. I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to be united with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.